The Science Show on RN.
Professor Einstein.
Ladies and gentlemen, our age is proud of the progress it has made in man's intellectual development. The search and striving for truth and knowledge is one of the highest of man's qualities. Though often the pride is most loudly voiced by those who strive the least. And certainly, we should take care not to make the intellect our goal. It has, of course, powerful muscles, but no personality. It cannot lead, it can only serve. And it is not fastidious in its choice of a leader. This characteristic is reflected in the qualities of its priests, the intellectuals. The intellect has a sharp eye for methods and tools, but is blind to ends and values. So it is no wonder that this fatal blindness is handed on from old to young, and today involves a whole generation.
Einstein in 1943 on combining intellect with values. Well, now Professor David Blair, having helped discover gravitational waves and become emeritus at the University of Western Australia, is trying to bring Einstein to school kids. We've had quite recently some discussions in the Science Show about how the knowledge of the universe and the theory of everything and what's going on in terms of the standard model of physics and all the rest of it seems to work even at the quantum level, except nobody can work out where to put gravity. Now you've got gravitational waves and so much evidence. Isn't it surprising that even Einstein seemed not to be able to put gravity in a natural place in all the firmament?
I guess so, but we still talk about how weak gravity is compared with the electromagnetic force and the nuclear force. But then Einstein also says that gravity, at least as we talk about it here on Earth, is not a force that's emanating out of planets like electric fields and magnetic fields emanate from their sources, that it is just a manifestation of curved space. But still, the big question is, why is space curved? And why does matter tell space how to curve and space tell matter how to move? That's the principle of inertia, the fact that matter is connected to space. This intrinsic connection between matter and space seems, when you think about it, quite a surprising idea. If space expands, then there's expanding space pulls the matter with it, pulls the mirrors in our gravitational wave detectors with it, and so we see that response. Exactly why we have space is a question not for me.
It might not be for you, but I find it rather extraordinary that I'm sitting in the chair, as are you, and the chair remains on the ground because of something to do with curved space. But the whole point of our discussion now, having mentioned Einstein a couple of times, is your ambition to tell young people, even primary school kids, about Albert Einstein. Now, don't they get any mention of him in their lessons? And how would you explain all these weird details to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds?
I think the problem is that the weirdness is the problem of old people. And it's a problem that we didn't learn an Einsteinian language to describe the world around us when we were young. What we've found is that when we talk to 11 or 12-year-olds about the ideas of curved space, warp time, they take it in their stride. They're not surprised because they haven't been indoctrinated with a concept that time is in some sense universal. We have all been drawing Cartesian coordinates and reading off maps and having ideas of flat space and learning Euclidean geometry, 2,500-year-old geometry that every scientist for the last thousands of years has studied. Every school kid gets to study this Euclidean geometry. What we now know is that geometry is an approximation and that the true geometry is a geometry of curved space. But it seems to me that the difference is no more than the difference between the idea that the Earth is flat and the Earth is round. Well, it's an enormous idea. If you had believed that the Earth is flat, to suddenly see a photograph of the Earth hanging in space. But once you've seen it, you know that the Earth is round, and it doesn't take any particular effort to understand that. So what we found is that young people just love talking about the ideas, love thinking about some of the abstract concepts. Like we say to them, what is space? What is time? And we go back to questions like, how do we measure space? How do we measure time? And we talk about how we measure space in units like meters, which depended once on a lump of platinum kept in Paris, and that was derived from something that was a good approximation to 3 feet, which is measured by human feet. Similarly for time, where do seconds come from? We measure time in seconds. Well, probably it was because before the time of clocks, one way you could measure time was count your heartbeat. Something, again, completely human. If we were hummingbirds, seconds would be 100 times smaller or 10 times smaller than they are now, because hummingbirds have a pulse rate 600 or 1,000 pulses per minute.
Well, obviously you're talking to young people who are used to Harry Potter and all sorts of weird and wonderful things, but have you begun your project to talk to kids in a systematic way?
Yes, but the difficulty is that we can usually organise to do a particular intervention with a certain class. We can't create a continuous development of ideas, which is really what's necessary to develop the ideas from when they are maybe in year 4, year 3, up to year 10 or 12. So we try to pack it all in into a single intervention. They do fantastically well, but it would be much better to repackage it so that a little bit of it happens all the way through their schooling. But also, the most critical problem is we've got to get teachers comfortable with it. So we've been working with cohorts of teachers, primary school teachers, and asking them, where do you think different parts of our program fit in?
And this is presumably in Perth in Western Australia, and you're not doing this as a national thing, are you?
No, we'd love to do it as a national thing. Actually, later this year, we're doing it in Melbourne, and we've done it in country schools in Western Australia, and we did a little bit in the Northern Territory, but we've got a long way to go. We also have a group in China who are very keen to take it all to China. So I think it's going to spread, and I think it's not too long before we'll see the curricula get changed in relatively simple ways. But all children will know that they're learning the most modern ideas, and it will make it possible to talk to people about things that at the moment they can't because they haven't got the basis of it.
But they know who Einstein is, do they?
Yes, they all know who Einstein is. At least they know that Einstein is the most famous scientist, and they also know E equals MC squared. They don't know what it means, but they know it, and they learn it from The Simpsons and from all sorts of other things that appear on YouTube and things like that. So,
did The Simpsons get it right?
I don't think anybody really gets it right, because when it's popular media, they're not trying to teach. They're just using it. You know, in Big Bang Theory, the same thing. Who becomes a physicist as a result of watching Big Bang Theory? I don't think anybody does, but they get a sense of some of the things that are talked about.
The fruits of intellectual efforts together with the striving itself, in cooperation with the creative activity of the artist, lend content and meaning to life.
Einstein on combining sciences with the arts and showing meaning. And David Blair tells me that the young people studying Einstein's ideas relish the hard stuff most. He's Professor of Physics Emeritus at the University of Western Australia and has just been elected to the Australian Academy of Science.